Hello and welcome to Sangam Lit. This is Nandini Karki, and in this episode, we relish the rich imagery depicted in Sangam literary work Natrinai 119, penned by Perunkunrur Kilar. The poem is set in the Kurunji landscape or the lush mountain country and speaks in the voice of the confidant to the lady, expressing a subtle message to the man listening nearby. Thinaivun kelal iriya punavan sirupori maattiya perungal adaar unkeel vayappuli paduvum naadan aardhara vandanan aayinum படப்பை இன்முசு பெருங்களை நன்மேயல் ஆறும் பல்மலர்கான் யாற்று உம்பர் கருங்களை கடும்பு ஆட்டு வருடையொடு தாவன உகழும் பெருவரை நீளல் வருகுவன் குளவியொடு கூதலம் ததைந்த கண்ணியன் யாவதும் முயங்கள் பெருகுவன் அல்லன் புலவி கொளியர் தன் மலையினும் பெரிதே. As we step in, we meet Thinai, meaning millets, the favored food of the mountain folk. We learn that Kelal refers to a wild boar. The poem seems to be teeming with life, for after the glimpse of that boar, there's the puli or tiger, musu or monkey, kalai, meaning the male in one place and deer in another place, and finally varudai or mountain goat. A field day for those on a jungle safari. The phrase Pal Malarkan Yatru brings before our eyes a forest river floating with flowers many. Of these many flowers, two get a specific mention. One, Kulavi or Pachauli, and another, Kudalam or Nightshade. In short, the poem is a naturalist's paradise. Let's walk into this paradise to perceive the personality of the minds portrayed. First, some background. The man and woman have been in a love relationship for a while, and the man shows no intention of formalizing the union. One day, when he comes to tryst with the lady, the confidant sees him waiting by the backyard, pretending as if she has not seen him there, but making sure he's in earshot. She turns to the lady and says, "To capture the boar that feeds on their millets, the mountain folk placed a small trap on a huge boulder. While the boar escapes and wanders away, a bright-hued strong tiger gets caught in the very trap. Our Lord's domain is such a mountain country. Wonder who bid him to come here? In a wild grove in his mountain country, a sweet black langur grazes the trees to its satisfaction. On the banks of the wild forest river filled with flowers many, a herd of deer frolic with a flock of mountain goats. This unfolds in the shade of the huge mountain, and our Lord passes through this path wearing a garland of kulavi and kodalam flowers. Be that as it may, he shan't get embraces any. Even if his displeasure soars as high as the mountain he comes from, it would be of no use." With these words, the confidant in a hidden manner passes on two important messages to the man. One, that the lady has been confined to the house, and the other, strangers are seeking her hand in marriage, and thereby the confidant is stressing that the man should seek the lady's hand without further delay. I hear you say that all the confidant was talking about was animals and flowers in the mountain forest, and how come she's supposed to mean all this? Let's take some time and unravel the message. To use a modern reference, these poems seem to be like a cryptic code, a code that needs to be unraveled with our patience and imagination. So let's take the first scene, the scene where a trap has been laid for a boar that steals millets, and in that trap, the boar doesn't get caught but a shiny strong tiger does. With this scene, the confidant says to the man that a stranger, like that shiny strong tiger trapped in the snare, has come with a marriage proposal to the lady's kith and kin, while the man, like the rightful boar that is to be trapped, remains far away. Considering the time he lived in, the man no doubt is fitted with the decrypting software to understand this message right away, unlike you and me. We now turn to the second scene in the mountain country, through which the man comes walking with a garland woven with the petals of both Kulavi and Kodalam flowers. This is on the bank of a wild river, which too seems to be floating, filled with the love of the forest trees that shed their blooms on the running waters. Near this bank, there's a grove of trees and a male monkey has had its fill. Nearby, a herd of deer and a flock of goats frolic in joy together. This scene is to tell the man that although the danger of the stranger's proposal remains, if he does the right thing and comes seek the girl's hand in marriage, then like the frolicking deer and goats, the girl's kith and kin will rejoice in their union and the man can have his fill of joy like that grazing monkey in the mountain forest. But if he were to arrive with no intention of pursuing the rightful path, he will be disappointed in his desire to court the lady as she is confined to the house, and even if his displeasure is as high as the mountains he comes from, that would be futile. Two things strike me in understanding this verse. Here's the confidant indirectly calling the man a boar in one instance and a monkey in another, while a stranger is equated to a tiger. If the same epithets were used today, it's highly likely that the receiver of the message in the man's position would be insulted. But here, the confidant gives no offense and the man takes no offense. This tells me that Sangam folks did not elevate one animal and derogate another. Be it a boar, a monkey, or a tiger, they seem to have seen only the aptness of the metaphor. This talks a lot about their sense of equality with regard to the natural world. The second thing is their intricate style of conveying a message. Instead of cold facts straight to the face, the time and thought behind each word penned and each image constructed speaks about the space in their minds. Uncluttered by a thousand distractions, they were able to devote the time needed to present a thought in all its glorious detail. Taking a cue, will we make at least a little space for the little things in the world outside and within? Thanks for listening to this episode of Sangam Lit and journeying with me to ancient lands and minds. Please visit nandinikarki.com to share your thoughts and do rate and review Sangam Lit on your favorite podcast app. Until next time, Nandri Vanakkam.